You're listening to an OTB AM podcast. You can watch the show or listen live every weekday morning from 7:45 AM. Subscribe to the OTB AM podcast stream for more stuff just like this.
We have got Curtis Fleming on the line. Good morning to you, Curtis.
Good morning, lads. How you doing?
Good. Okay. We may as well get your take on this. I mean, has the Declan Rice situation informed a manager like Mick McCarthy to the point where Luke O'Connell should be capped regardless of the intangible that is his potential quality?
Well, first of all, I was hoping I wasn't going to get out on Luke O'Connell because boy, he did there. Kev, I was thinking I'd check it out of this in a minute, but... I would go down the Kev route. I think that Luke O'Connell played against us this season, and he's the outstanding player for Bolton. In a team that was struggling, he was unbelievable. He was unbelievable. He did a brilliant game against us. We beat them, but he's the outstanding player. He's got a little bit of great. He's a good footballer, but puts his foot in as well, and I thought, brilliant. And now he's Liverpoolian. I think, as Kev knows, and I think most players, ex-players would know, is that when you go to the squad, even meeting up, this gives the manager and the club, the association, and the players a chance to mix in with this lad and see what he's like. You know, because we're having a look as well. He may be having a look, but we're having a look as well. And if he's not the right character, and as Kev knows, I don't think Mick will put up with any fields or any people that are there just for a little holiday. So I think it goes both ways for me. I think get him in, have a look. But there's no doubt the kid can play. But you'll hear things, you'll see things in a few days that when you're working, when you're in the squads, and you'll see, is he cocky? Is he not? Is he confident? What's he thinking? Is he onto his agent all the time? You know, is his agent in his ear and stuff like that? And I think it's a great chance for Ireland. I don't think anybody should be given a cap, a 2-minute cap or a 3-minute cap, to think that maybe he may play for us or we have a chance of keeping him. I think it's absolute craziness because we all build up, really, to, you know, we start playing at 8, 9, 10 to play for our countries. And when you play for that first minute, I think you've got to warrant that.
Yeah. Okay. Curtis, I've never seen him play, so just quickly, you talked about you've played against him this season when you were at Middlesbrough. What type of player is he?
He's a get-on, he's a sitter. Midfield bombs on now and again, Kev, but he gets it. He's got an unbelievable spray. He can get it from one side, a little shift it, and can spray it 40, 50 yards to the opposite side of the pitch. Mm. The biggest thing for me was he smashed our right back. He was 6'4".
Yeah.
And left a little bit on him and get up and kind of swagger off. Not in a big time, he just said, I'm not taking you pushing me around. I'm not taking you kicking me. And when the crowd turned a little bit at Bolton, as they were at the time, there was so much going on off the pitch. He just seemed to be that one guy that just kept going to get it and get it. And I think that's the bravest part of football, going to go and get the ball when things aren't going right. So straight away, everybody, there's no doubt, you know, Middlesbrough, when I was there, we were talking about him after it. I'd say there was 10, 12 scouts there that night looking at him and that. So he's going to be a top player, but we don't know how he's going to live. He's 17. We don't know what's going to happen, Kev, but there's no doubt that if we can get him into an Ireland shirt, and he wants to be there, and he wants to play, there's no doubt he'll be playing with Ireland for the next 10, 15 years.
Sounds like a player we should cap.
We've heard that before, haven't we? There you go. So yeah,
But that's what it is. Yeah. Everyone, you've got to look at them all as individuals. You know, Declan Rice isn't the same as Luke O'Connell, so we can't even put them in the same bracket. So two different kids come from two different places. Declan Rice has made mistakes, set and all that. But if Declan Rice wants to play for England, for me, you know, deep down, as it was inside, it was in his stomach. I had a chance once, Kev, to play for Jamaica. Yeah. You remember the reggae boys?
Yeah.
You know, I got a call from the Jamaican embassy saying, the Middlesbrough saying, you know, your dad's, you know, originally from Kingston. And my mum and dad had split up when I was a kid and my ma brought me up. So I was very, very Ireland. And I said, no, I don't want to play for Jamaica. I don't want to go to the World Cup. I want to wear my Ireland shirt. That's what I want to do. So I always knew what I wanted to do. So everyone's different, Kev.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I
could have gone off and I could have been singing. I could have been miming the Jamaican action national anthem. You know what I mean? Think of what it was me.
Just kissing, you know, the badge, mean? And everything. There you go.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And stuff, which sometimes I think, you know, happens too easy for people. But I think we've just got to accept that, not go too deep on the kid. Let him get in. And he might just absolutely love it. He might absolutely love it and straight away say, please, please give me a chance. And then we've got to take him on his word then.
Yeah, for sure. We wanted to chat Middlesbrough with you, Curtis, because obviously you've departed from the backroom team there over the past couple of weeks. Once Tony Pulis was gone from the club, was it automatic that you and a couple of the other coaches would follow?
No, it wasn't. We were, when Tony left at the end of the season, we had half a thought, because we hadn't got in the playoffs, that he may go. But a lot of us were thinking that we'd probably be kept on. I was disappointed, to be fair, to hear that I was leaving, as they brought me back from QPR last year, 18 months ago. And with my Borough connections and that I still have a part to play in kind of getting the club to where it wants to be. So it was a bit of a shock, really, and a disappointment, really. But that's the way football is for me. I think it's at the level that we coach at. It's a precarious job, and sometimes, you know, the sentiment goes out the window, and you just got to take it on the chin and move on.
What happened this season, Curtis? Why didn't it go to plan with the ideal way of promotion at the end?
Yeah, I think I would say bad luck. I would say we went on that 6-game run, which was the one really that killed us. We had a lot of chances in those games. Everyone seemed to say you're very, very negative, very, very negative. Tony, as everyone knows, he's very structured in where he goes. Everything is built from a solid base, really. He doesn't really want chaos and madness. You know, he wants to be organised and then breaking from that. But the biggest one for me was we lost Adama Traore to Wolves, $22 million. And I'm telling you, we weren't far off the way we played last year, but we had the equalising bullet, or the golden bullet. You know what I mean? That every time we got the ball, something would happen. We sold him for $22 million. Ben Gibson left then to Burnley for $15 million, and Bamford left to Leeds for $10 million. So, and we didn't really replace those guys. So the Tony had said that he thought getting to seventh this season was a better achievement than getting into the playoffs last season. I'm not sure about that, but I think we ended up where we maybe should have.
Was there ever any sense, Curtis, that they might have wanted to keep you around for continuity's sake, or even, like, given you've been a player there for so long as well, for the bulk of your career, that you kind of know what the club is all about, that whoever the new manager would be, whoever that may be, permanently installed, you would be a huge asset to them, no?
Yeah, well, that was my thinking as well. So when I walked in, I was expecting to be kept. I was thinking continuity. I've got nothing but the club in me, kind of me head and me heart. I'm not going to be the voice behind the scenes. I don't think I should be this, or I don't think I should be that. I love coaching. I love getting involved. And whoever come in, you give them 110% backing, especially with no manager in place, no manager having a chance to make the decision. I felt this was the club's decision to let me go, and that probably hurt more than anything. Seems that they've been trying to get me back to the club for a few seasons now, and I left Ian Holloway down to QPR, who I get along really, really well with, but it was a chance to come back to the club that I played over 300 times for. So, yeah, it's disappointing and hurting, but I don't know if it's an Irish thing. Is it just that what we've got? We couldn't get up fighting again, and I'm ready for the next challenge.
Is that an immediate thing, that the next challenge will come as soon as possible? And will it be a first-team coach or assistant role again, or are you looking for the big gig?
No, I'm looking for the big gig, I think. I've been speaking to a few people over the last few days, and I'm just trying to... I want to stay in the game and whatever capacity, but I think that, you know, after all the coaching I've done, the level I've been coaching at, and the players and the egos and people that you've had to deal with, I've got no problems with stepping into that managerial role and having a go. People always keep telling me that, you know, you're too old to go in, or you're too young, or don't go here, or don't go there and stuff. I feel like I'm ready. I've done my apprenticeship. I've coached from under 13s up to first team. I've done army badges through the FAI. I did my pro licence. And I'm ready to go. So it doesn't scare me. Some people need to step straight in, as Frank Lampard has done, and you other people who have to do, you know, 6-7 years to get the real confidence, belief, and the philosophy of what they want to do. And I feel like I'm ready and I'm there.
Yeah, Curtis, I've just tried to write down as many names as I could off the top of my head this morning, coaches and managers, certainly with Chris Hughton just going this week as well, one of our Irish coaches there. Barry Murphy's further down, he's just taken over at Rochdale. Jim Goodwin, who's up in Scotland, that probably people won't know about. But yes, aside of that, we don't have many Irish coaches coaching managing at the top level across or at any level across England at all. Outside Ireland, I've just met James O'Connor as well. He's at Orlando City as well. What has got into your head now then, Curtis, that now you want to take a top job? You've coached for so long. Chris Shuten did it for such a long time where he was coaching in the background to an extent. Lee Cars is doing the same. I'll speak to Lee on a regular basis. What's now in your head why you decided now you're ready for the top job or to take a top job?
Well, I think it's like anything. I think it's all experience, Kev. I think in my mind, I like the jobs I'm doing. The people I've worked with, I've done very well with, they've always going to come back and get me. They build your confidence as such as to walk into a building and stand in front of directors and the chairman, and you probably have to sell yourself a little bit. But I know when I go into my meeting now, and I know I go for an interview, Kev, that I've nailed everything. You can't say I haven't worked with youth. You can't say I haven't worked with some quality players. You can't say I haven't got my badges. You can't say I haven't got the passion for it. And I just feel, you know, now is the right time. So maybe getting, you know, let go and get released from Middlesbrough, maybe a blessing in disguise in one way, because it all, you know, it, one door closes, another opens. And going back to the Irish coaches, I think there should be more Irish coaches. I think we should be pushing along. I did my badges with in Ireland and that, and Cookies at Wigan, and I know Cookies from Liverpool and all that. But after he's Sligo, you know, starting his coaching really journey at Sligo. And, you know, you look at Sam Allardyce started at Limerick.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's so many people that have gone on that have managed in Ireland and stuff. But I feel that we have to have a bit more belief in ourselves and really be pushed. When you do your badges in Ireland, we need to get some of the coaches, I think, when we've studied in Ireland, to get into the English clubs. Even, you know, you're not looking for people's jobs. You're just looking for experience and just get people in there for a month, 2 months, and experience what it's like day to day.
Yeah, I wrote all these names that I mentioned, Lee, before. The coaches, Cliffy Byrne, he's coaching at Doncaster as well. We've got a lot of lads, Stephen Reid, who's been coaching, Andy Reid, who's involved in the youth structure here, Richard Dunn, Keith Andrews, Mark Kinsella. Yeah. And I spoke to Graham Kavanagh as well recently. You'd know very well as well, Curtis. And have you ever been off put? I mean, Gary Breen and David Connolly as well, and other lads you'd speak to that don't necessarily have a real inclination, particularly Gary Breen, have been a bit put off by the experience of coaching and managing at lower league football over in England. Been put off by the whole experience at all. Have you never had that experience, particularly with this week after leaving Middlesbrough?
Yeah, I think you do, Kev. But I think, what are we? You know, what gives you the buzz? What did we start off wanting to be and to be involved in and stuff? And I know, to be fair, if we grab the ball out, lads, me, you, and you till tomorrow, we all go and have a five-a-side off the wall tomorrow. You talk about it every day, Kev, because you love it. And I think that there are experiences. I was at Hartlepool as assistant manager with Craig Hignett. Before I went to QPR, so it was one extreme to the other, really. And it was kind of literally balls, bibs, you know, driving the minibus to train and look, making sure the lads, you know, get the pay some of the time. And it was really tough. But I think that makes you. And I think that if you go into the jobs thinking that it's going to be Barcelona or Man City and you're going to have this and you're going to have that, you're not going to. But what you can do is you can go in and make a difference. And I feel like all the time I coach or I get involved, the lads, on an individual off the pitch basis as well. I think you're helping them. And I always think that we always needed it. I don't care who you are as a player, on and off the pitch, whatever level, when you start to care, we all needed someone there to give us that hand up or to help us along and stuff. And yeah, you're treated badly and you get sacked and that. But I think it was a Rafa Benitez being sacked 8 times. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So what does he do? Does he just sit, you know, in his villa in Spain somewhere? He's made enough money, he's done okay, but he keeps coming back because it's the buzz. It's the buzz of football, and I find that. I think a lot of people have been put off by it, but I think when you get knocked back a little bit, you know, take a deep breath in and then think, right, am I going again? And when you go, you're a better coach because you've learned different things.
Curtis, you mentioned like the respect that Irish managers get in England at the moment. Like, would you consider League of Ireland as a potential managerial option? Would that give you a line in your CV that you think would get the respect required to go back to the UK again?
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Again, I would be comfortable doing it. And I think it's one of them that it has to, you know, they have to want you. You know, I've got contacts in England, a lot of contacts for me on the coaching side. So there are players that you could probably get on loan. There'd be players that you want to, you want to bring in. The League of Ireland, there's a lot of players that's getting capped now, which is unbelievable. And it's great to see. And I'm always a big advocate for it because I think there was a few players, Paul McGrath was playing, etc. You know, Liam O'Brien was at Shamrock Rovers. So I think there's so many players that probably haven't got the chance. I think the chance is gone. League of Ireland for me is brilliant because I'll be getting home. I'm not working day to day. Once you're on the pitch working day to day, it's fantastic. So a club is a club to me. It doesn't matter what, you know, what country it is. It just has to give you that buzz that you want to get in and get started and give it your all.
Yeah, I mean, off that as well, there's a few quotes in the Irish papers today, Curtis, around you wanting to take the Irish job, the top job. Given what Stephen Kenny did and he's put himself in the position by essentially managing through the League of Ireland structure or the Irish structure, do you see, off the back of that then, is it paramount then if you came over here you'd have to get the right club to get the success to put you in a position to get the Irish job? Is that your ultimate ambition?
I think it has to be, Kev. I think it goes back, and I think maybe I'm naive and maybe I've come across a little bit, a bit of a sap, as you used to say, Ballyball. But I think when you start playing football, your goal ever, when I was growing up, I wanted to play professional. I wanted to play in an FA Cup final. I wanted to play for my country. That was it. That was, when you're thinking, there's no way that's ever going to happen. Mm. And I think it's the same with coaching. As soon as you go into the coaching, you're thinking, right, I want to coach at the highest level I can. Now, in football, I had to start with Belvedere, and then I went to St. Patrick's. And that was my route through. And now, maybe then I'm going to the League of Ireland, and I'm going to work my way through. But why not have goals? Everything's achievable. Brian Kerr did it. And Brian Kerr was my manager at St. Pat's for 5 years. And he gave me confidence. He got me move away to England with confidence and playing in the League of Ireland. So I think, it would be great. It would be great if you can get the top club, most money, and the best players, and you do that. But that doesn't usually happen, as Graham Kavanagh would tell you. Because I remember speaking to Kavanagh a few occasions when he was manager of Carlisle, and he just couldn't believe all the different things that were going on off the pitch, and he was thinking, this was getting him down, and some of the players weren't as professional as they should have been, or he thought they should have been. But again, it's something you've got to teach them. They're not playing in Premier League, they're playing at League Two, and they all need a bit of guidance as well.
Curtis, we mentioned Chris Hughton there and his departure recently. He wasn't just like flying the flag for Irish coaches in the Premier League. He was flying the flag for black coaches in the league as well. And the number of black, Asian and minority ethnic groups coaches in top tier football and across all the divisions in English football is something that's been brought up quite a bit by Kick It Out and other campaigning organisations over the past couple of months and years, to the point now where there are serious concerns about the number of coaches and the diversity in the top managerial jobs, especially in England. How real an issue is this from your experience?
I think it's a big issue. I think it's important. We talk about the League of Ireland, you see Ireland managers managing in the League of Ireland. I think you look at the top league in England, and you think you're seeing the same nationalities in that. I've worked for Show Racing Redcar for 19 years. We were going into schools and kind of trying to use football as a tool, really, to educate the kids and break down barriers, really. And I think there has to be, because we look at the percentage of black and Asian, coaches who are in it, in the league and at the top leagues as well in the country, the amount of money that comes through it and all the coaching courses that are being done at the moment, there has to be a pathway. There has to be a belief in a pathway. And I'm not sure that a lot of the black and the Asian coaches think that they can make it to the summit. And I think that's where the FA, the PFA, have to get together. The same in the League of Ireland. I mean, we've got to be open. We've got to be open to where we want to go and what we want to do. And I always class myself as a coach first. When I go into a job, I don't think I'm a black Irish fella looking for a coaching job. When I go in and I go, I'm a coach first and foremost. If they don't like my nationality or they don't like my colour, okay, then we have a problem. And then I would highlight that. But I don't think that we can get on, you know, in some of these meetings. I was at a meeting a few years ago down at the House of Commons, and everyone was saying, well, there's no jobs there and you won't get a job. And I just think, well, if I'm a young coach starting, I go and take up tennis because yous are all telling me that there's no chance I'm going to get a chance in the game I love. And I think there are chances there, but we've got to still keep banging the drum.
Yeah, for sure. And there's been some very interesting discussion about this recently. Danny Rose in particular was very heavy on this topic a couple of weeks ago. He said, when I said that I was talking about the lack of black managers within football now, people ask me, do I want to do my coaching badges? Why? You're not given a chance. So no, I won't be looking forward to doing my coaching badges. It's a waste of time. Waste of time is pretty strong, Curtis. I'm not sure if that's something you go along with.
No, I don't think it's a waste of time. But again, if that's the perception that's being put out there to all these players that are coming through, love the game and want to stay in the game, then there's a problem at the top. There's a problem in the country, isn't there? There's a problem in the league. And sometimes it's probably just not the football, it's the society. People saying, I don't want to come to England because I won't get a chance. Or I don't want to come to Ireland because I won't get a chance. I think it's huge. That I think it's huge, and I think it's something, again, we've seen what's happened over the last few weeks, months. I think it was a keen at Juventus.
You know,
he's the guy in light of Italian football. He's gone through, and then you've got the captain of Italy saying, well, he's really asking for it. Hmm. He shouldn't bait the fans. You're thinking, hold on a minute. It's a young kid that scored a wonderful goal and you've got 10,000 people making monkey chants. Is that acceptable? It's not acceptable. So I just think that there's so many things. Montenegro with the English team. Mm. You know, there is no doubt. I played the Sunderland in a derby game and I was getting monkey chants. I played down in Wales for Middlesbrough and I was getting Irish, black, there was everything. And at that time it was more acceptable, but it's not acceptable now. So I think the powers that be have to stand up now and start worrying about money and start worrying about kudos in the league. The league and the game in England especially is so strong now that I think that they can make a stand. They can make a stand and say, okay, if Danny Rose is saying that, is Dele Alli sat with Danny Rose, you know, looking, you know, on the English trips? And he sat with Lingard, and, you know, with Sterling, and they all sat and thinking, I tell you what, I'd love to get a coach and I love working with the kids, but I tell you, there's no point. Then you're losing a whole generation of international footballers.
Yeah. Like, what is that, Stan Curtis? What is that fix?
For me, I think the FA have to be a lot stronger. I think it was Calgary where Mosey, my pronunciation isn't great, but they had no fine or anything from the Italian FA. This week, you've probably seen that. Yeah. So it's okay to racially abuse the guiding light of Italian football. It's okay. So you shouldn't be really celebrating goals in front of the away fans. That just happens. You're a young kid, you lose the head. So I think that especially these federations, I think the FA have to stand up and make a real point. And I honestly think that it won't be long before a couple of players are going to walk off the pitch.
Is that the correct course of action, Curtis?
I think people will think it's 50-50. You can argue in both ways. I think if you're losing 3-0 and the away fans are losing 3-0 and they go, I tell you what, we monkey chat for the next 20 minutes and get the game called off. Mm. You know what I mean? They'll think they can affect games. Do you stand there and take it? Does the one player come off and we substitute them? I'm not sure what the right way is, but something big has to happen. It can't just keep going on. Everyone keeps saying that it's okay. I went in and met a lot of kids a couple of weeks ago in the inner city area in Middlesbrough, and I was talking, and one of they made a comment about one of the Asian guys, you know, I said, hold on a minute, you can't be saying that. And the kid said, that's all right, he's me mate. So I'm thinking, okay, so Man United are playing Liverpool, it's okay for Liverpool to hammer Lukaku, we're having Sterling on the pitch. You know, it's got to be education, society, and society, football grounds, football terraces, football seating areas, and a cross-section of society. What we need is some people, really, for me, to stand around or turn around and say to somebody, I tell you what, I'm unhappy with you doing that. I don't really like that. And it may be one person, but it may be 100 people, it may be 1,000. But something's got to give, because it can't just keep going on. Because, as I said to you again, we lose a generation of players.
Yeah, Curtis, I know, it's probably a topic we could probably go on and on, to be fair. We could probably, I'd love to get you back on the topic as well, Ferdinand Lambert. There's one person that you mentioned early on that stuck out to me from your time at St. Pat's, was Brian Kerr. I don't know how up to speed you are with everything that's happened here over the last couple of months, but essentially Brian Kerr's been out of the game here over in Ireland for such a long time now. First of all, your relationship with Brian, and further down the line, would you like to see Brian Kerr be reintroduced to Irish football within the structure, within some sort of role within the FAI going forward?
Yeah, I think Kev will be a huge fan. As I said, he took me from Belvedere. I was 18. I wasn't sure what I was going to be doing, and I was thinking I was working in a shop, and I was grand, and I was playing with my mates, and he came. I always remember he came to the house to speak to me, man, and God rest her soul, and he said, I'm going to start you for the first 10 games of the League of Ireland season. He said, no one else will give you that. He said, but if you do well, great. If not, I'm going to throw you out, but I'm going to give you that chance. And for me, that was huge. That was huge. Only two managers, Brian Robson, did that with me as well at Middlesbrough, and I thought, I'd run through a wall for him. So I'd run through a wall for Brian, and I said, I keep in contact with him. He's always dropped me little texts and messages and keep the head up, or well done, or I'll bump into him in Dublin. And we'll go and have a quick pint. And then, and I just think it's a waste, Kev. I think it's a waste. Deep down, Brian Kerr loves Ireland and loves Irish football. He was ahead of his time when he brought those 16s and 18s to you winning World Cups. And I think that it's amazing that he hasn't been involved. And as we said, sometimes you just got to bite the bullet and say, OK, let's sit down, have a cup of coffee, and what do you think? Because there's no doubt he's gone... Kev, you know him. He's gone to every game in Ireland at the moment. He's gone to under-11s, 12s, 13s. He'll go to a pub league. He'll go, he'll be looking at players because it's just in his blood. And I just think it's a waste. I just think it's a waste of a talent. We're a very small country, really. We're a small population. And, and we've only got a smaller then football population and people who love the game. He's one of them, and he's respected. I remember meeting him once. We played Liverpool. Kevin, he was in with Gerard Houllier.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Houllier was saying, oh, how are you doing, Brian? And great to have you. You spoke great at this convention, this conference. And I'm thinking, hold on a minute. You know, we was kind of bowing to the both of them. Are you okay? But I just think it's a waste. I think we've got to get him back in. And he has a passion for the game. He loves Ireland. And I think just a waste. Get as many people who really want to be involved. Not for self-publicity. For themselves or a selfish way, Kev. I think lads have to want to come back and want to get involved. And it's not about them, it's about the badge.
And like, it is a great opportunity, Curtis, for the FAI, given the overhaul at the top brass now, to actually make that one of their, maybe not at the top of the priority list, but eventually get around to the idea.
I think he should be the top of the priority list. I really do believe that. I think he has to be involved, and I think it's criminal in a football term that we've not had a person of his knowledge, a person of his, for something that Curtis touched on there, his passion. It's not about Brian. It's about others, and that's the way that he's always been. And that's why it is criminal in football terms that he's not been involved for such a long time.
It's exactly, Kevin. To be fair, I was going to show my age there. I was saying, if you want 10p to go to the telephone box and make that call, just you know.
It's all about Skype, there, Skype and FaceTime now, and WhatsApp calls and all this, Curtis. You know what I mean? We've changed now.
I wanted to know who Skype was playing for. That's all.
Listen,
I think you're bang on there, there's no doubt. I could call him in a minute. Do you know what I mean? You could call him in a minute and say, "Come on, Brian." And again, he calls me Rasha. How are you, Rasha? And he gets cranky if you don't call him a little bit. He gets cranky here and there and stuff like that. And he will get cranky with people in meetings because he's so passionate and strong. But then we've got to tunnel that and we've got to use him. We've got to use him because it can only add. It'll never be negative. It'll never be detrimental to the FAI or to the country or the standard of football. Or even if you think about the future now, Kev, let's start working with the 12s, 13s, 14s, 15s, right through and having a way to play. Having a way to play and having a belief. And then, we can supplement that with players that we pick up as we go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Curtis, it's been fascinating chatting to you. Thanks so much for being so kind with your time.
Thanks, Curtis. Best
of luck with whatever is coming next.
No, thanks very much, lads. Enjoyed it, and all the best. And Kev, great to see you. Speak to you again.
Go on, man. Cheers, Curtis. Thanks a lot.
So if you like this, you'll probably also like OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Subscribe to the OTB AM podcast stream or catch the show live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook or offtheball.com every morning from 7:45 a.m.